Hi, my name is McGuire, and today I'll be reading John 1, verse 1 through 5, 14, 16 through 18, New Living Translation. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought life to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory and the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Verse 16, from his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus. No one has ever seen God, but the one unique who is himself God is near the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us.
Excellent job, McGuire. Mm-hmm. Buddy, you can head that way over there. Yep. Good job. How's everybody doing? Good. Yeah? How are you guys doing? You guys doing good? I can't hear you. Oh. I wish I could. I really wish I could hear you. But I guess you can throw up, you know, the likes and the hearts, and you can say, hey, Pastor Joe, we hear you, or no, we don't hear you, which I hope they can hear us. I hope. Anyways, welcome so much, church family. We are so glad that you are here. We are absolutely blessed to have you. We miss each and every single one of you so, so, so much. And we are looking forward to the day when we can come back together as the community of believers and worship together and do life together as the big group. But I truly believe that God is showing and telling the church something. I think God is saying the church isn't inside these walls. The church is us. The church is out there. The church is active. And so we hope and pray that you are being active and joining Jesus in what he is doing in your life and your neighbor's life and the people around you. If you don't know me, I almost messed up. I was almost a bad boy. Okay, I am Joe Brannon, and I am first a beloved child of God who happens to serve as the lead pastor here at Grace Communion Surrey Hills. Oh, I love saying that. So good. So good. But I want to speak to those who may be joining us for the first time. And maybe you're joining us and you're saying, you know, I don't know much about this church thing. I'm not a religious person. I'm not a Christian. Well, I want you to know that this is a place for you. You see, we're passionate about a person that reveals who God is and what his heart is. So we're not about rules and regulations, and we're not about principles or concepts, but we are passionate about a person. That person is Jesus. So no matter where you are today, wherever you find yourself today, no matter what it is that you have done, I just want you to know that you are loved and that you already belong here. And we are blessed that you are here. Thank you for joining us. So, giving a real quick recap, we've been going through the sermon series called At the Heart. And we've been talking about what's at the heart of Grace Communion Surrey Hills. And we've been going through the core values. And the core values are at the heart of who we are. It's about what we do, why we do anything, and how we do things. It keeps us focused on the unique call that God has given us as a local church. And so the core values we've been going through, the first week we started with, we always start with Jesus. Period. Always. Then last week, we talked about how we value and love all people because God values and loves all people. So this week, as you can see there, this week we're going to be going through our third core value, and it is we are guided by God's word. So let us first pray. Father, Son, Spirit, we just come before you. We know that you're already here, that you're already moving, that you are already doing a work. And we just want to step into the flow of your Holy Spirit and its movement. I pray that your Spirit has its way, that the words that come out of my mouth are from you and you alone. And if there's anything that I say that is incorrect and that is not from you, that you would convict my heart and show me. I pray that our minds are open, that our hearts are softened, and that our ears are ready to accept and receive what it is that you have for us. And we pray this in and through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Can I get some, I got a water right there. I was not prepared. Thank you. Sorry about that, friends. I was hoping I'd make it through, but I guess not. Next time, I will have a water at hand. This pandemic has really stunk. It really has. It is impacting all of our lives, and it's impacting every aspect of our lives. Our family life is different. Schooling is a big change that's coming up in our family and so many other families. And, of course, the social life that we once had has drastically changed for all of us. And actually, just the other day, we were talking with some friends about an event that happened earlier this year. And I thought about that event, and I was like, oh, wait, that was this year. It felt like a lifetime ago. And I started reflecting on what life was like before. And it was kind of tough. It was actually kind of tough to think about that. You see, there's one instance that I started reflecting on. We had CJ and Lucas Malmcar over, and we were spending some time with each other. We were having dinner with each other. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, this was before the pandemic. This was very early on in the year. And so me and my wife, Megan, my bride, we grew up with CJ. And so we were reminiscing about our childhood of growing up together. And it was really fun doing that. And one part of the evening, all of a sudden, my wife asked me to pull these out. Now, I don't know if you guys have any of these. And let's see, I've got to find the right one here. But in case you don't know, these are not Doc Martin boots. She did have Doc Martin boots. She looked really good in them, too. But if you're a 90s baby, you would probably have one of these boxes just full of notes. And I'll tell you what, I mean, we're talking notes. Notes. Yeah. There's still more in that one box. And then she's got another box underneath there. And I'll tell you what, these notes vary. They vary between friends. Like, there was one note in there that Megan actually wrote to CJ. And 20 years later, she finds it. She's like, I was supposed to give this to you 20 years ago. And so CJ took that note. CJ loved it. And we were just going through it. It was notes being passed back and forth in church. And it was just a hoot of a time, some ex-boyfriend notes. But I won. I got the girl. And I'll tell you what, as you can see here, that Megan can make a book of her collection of letters and notes to all of her friends, and the notes that she got from her friends, she could write a book with that collection. It was a lot of fun that night, which got me thinking about today and what we're talking about. You see, we're talking about God's Word. And when we talk about God's Word, we are talking about the Bible or Scripture. Now, I don't want to get into all the structure of the Bible. That's for a different time. That can be a class that we do. Because I'm realizing that there's a lot of people that actually don't know how the Bible is structured. And I'm still learning at how the Bible is structured in some ways. So we're not going to get into that. But the Bible is a collection of 66 ancient writings of books, poems, letters, historical stories, songs, and it's about 40 writers or so. And though it was written by multiple writers over a course of a few thousand years, we personally believe that all of Scripture was inspired by God, which leads us to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 through 17. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, that's a great passage, but there might be some tension with that passage also, because there's some not-so-feel-good stuff in that one little passage there. But here's the thing, it's so important that we recognize the context of when we read Scripture. You see, the Scripture is written by real people living in a real time in history, dealing with real life issues. So the questions that you should always ask when you're reading God's Word, when you're reading Scripture, when you're reading the Bible is, who wrote it? And you can't just always go off of the title of the book, because some people may say, well, Timothy was written by Timothy. No. Timothy was written by Paul, who was mentoring Timothy to be a pastor of a church. And that can really change how we view the Scripture. So first, it's about who wrote it. And who was the audience? Who was the writer writing to? And then here's another important thing. This right here really changed how I see Scripture. It really changed everything for me. Is what is the cultural context that was going on in that day and age? Because several thousand years ago, they were still dealing with politics. They were still dealing with traditions and laws. And then there was family life as well. There were pandemics that went on. And so it's important to read not just one passage, but try to read a chunk of it and try to get into it a little bit deeper. There, honestly, my brothers and sisters, there is power in finding the context of Scripture. It will come alive. And also, you'll be able to see how it's more applicable to your life right now. I do want to say this. I want to say what the Bible isn't. The Bible isn't a guide to live a good life. Now, is there some basic wisdom in there to live by? Absolutely there is. There's a lot of wisdom in there. But it's not its sole purpose as a guide to live a good life. It's not a list of do's and don'ts, even though there's a lot of lists of do's and don'ts. It's not a checklist to be a good Christian. Well, if you do these things, then you're a good Christian. It's not a checklist for salvation and how to get to heaven. And here's the sad part about it. The Bible can and has been weaponized. There have been so many things within Scripture that has been pulled out of context. We put our own broken perspective and we try to force it into Scripture instead of pulling out what Scripture is trying to tell us. We try to tell Scripture what we wanted to hear, and it has been weaponized, and it has hurt millions of people. The Bible is not God. The Bible can become our idol. It can become our idol. We can end up actually worshiping the Scripture instead of worshiping the one that it's about. Let me say that again. We can end up worshiping the Scripture and this book rather than worshiping the one that it's about. Is it important to read the Bible? Absolutely. It is important to read the Bible. But you see, it's important to recognize that it's not about the what or the how. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus is talking to this group of religious leaders, and they're trying to trap Jesus in a lot of ways in what he's trying to teach. And Jesus says in verse 39, "You search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. That book does not save you. That book cannot give you abundant life. It can't give us abundant life." I need to fold myself into that category. It's not just about you. It's about me too. It can't save me. It's just paper with some ink on it. But let me finish. Continuing on in verse 39, Jesus says, "But the Scriptures point to me." He's telling these religious leaders and everybody else that's listening, those Scriptures aren't going to save you. You search and search and you search and you search the Scriptures trying to find the answer. Well, the answer isn't in the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are about me. And you're missing the very thing that is here to save you and give you abundant life. And it's right in front of their faces, physically. The whole point, or the whole Bible, points to Jesus. The whole Bible. Now, I get it. Wait, Pastor Joe, Jesus didn't come around until the New Testament. You know, he was born in a manger, and, you know, the star, and all these wise men came, and, you know, that was thousands upon thousands of years later. You know, what about the Old Testament? Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament. Great question. But my question is, why is it a big deal that Scripture points to Jesus? In our text, in verse 18, it says, "No one has ever seen God." No one has ever seen God. Now, I could stop right there, and I could say, well, what about all these areas in the Old Testament where people saw God? They saw the back of God. They experienced a seemingly physical being that was God. But Jesus says, no one has ever seen God. Jesus says, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. The reason why we read Scripture is because it reveals who God is through Jesus. Because Jesus reveals who God is. In the Old Testament, Jesus is revealing who God is. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealing who God is. And Jesus has always been around, my brothers and sisters. Always. When the molecules came together and created that baby inside of Mary, that's not when Jesus miraculously came about. Jesus has always existed. But Pastor Joe, how do you know that? Is it because you're a pastor? God told you? Well, God did tell me, I guess, through Scripture. When we see the physical manifestation of God in the Old Testament, it's Jesus. In John 1, in our text, at the very beginning, it says, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, in the beginning." What other book of the Bible starts with "in the beginning"? Anybody? Genesis. We like that name a lot. That's the name of our oldest daughter. In Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning." Continuing on, it says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created." And the word "word" in here is a capital W, which means it's Jesus. So let's change the text. I'm not about changing the text, but let's just tweak it a little bit. How's that? Let's tweak it a little bit. Let's replace "word" with "Jesus." In the beginning, Jesus already existed. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. Through who? Jesus. And nothing was created except through Him. Jesus gave life to everything that was created. Jesus reveals who God is. Because Jesus has always existed. Always. In the Old Testament, through the New Testament, with His incarnation, becoming human. Through His death, through His resurrection, and through His ascension. Hallelujah. Here's the mistake that are in a lot of Christian traditions, is that there is some being up there. There is some being up there, and we call this being God, that is far and distant away from us, and just waiting to punish as soon as we trip up. But when we read Scripture and we actually see that we actually start with Jesus, and that Jesus reveals who God really is, because the Jesus that we read in the New Testament is the same Jesus that's in the Old Testament. He's never changing. Jesus reveals that God is love. And through that love, God pursues the heart of all humanity. God pursues the heart of all humanity. And how is it that I know that? Because Jesus, who is God and who has always been God and been with God in relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, came down into human form. He said, "You can't work your way to us. But we are right here, right in the midst of you. We come to you. With Jesus coming in like he did, God coming in like they did, they were saying no to our no that we were saying to him. The constant selfishness that all of humanity was constantly battling against and wanting their own thing and saying, no, God, we don't need you. We don't need you, God. We got this. We got this. And God goes, no. No. You don't got this. You can't have something that you don't have and never will have. And so they say no to our no to them, so we can say yes to their yes of their life that we have in them. When am I going to get to the core value? What is the Bible? Why read it? As Megan's coming up, you know, there's a, this isn't all Megan's. There's one special box in here. Right here. You see, there's one special box. These are my notes. And I'm pretty sure 99% of these notes are from my girlfriend, who is now my bride. You see, just like the notes from my bride, we were sharing all kinds of different notes. There's notes when we were at church camp and sending them back and forth. Just summers, she would work with her grandfather, and I would be working with her uncle, and we would send notes and letters back and forth to each other. And we would also not pay attention to the sermons at all and pass notes during church. Kids nowadays, they won't know that. You know what I mean? It's like, they're probably like instant messaging or something. I don't know. But I don't know how many kids are going to have boxes of notes like this. But they're going to have like servers full of text messages. There's some dating notes in here when we are dating. There's some marriage notes in here after we got married. That she would write notes. And I'll be honest with you, there's some notes that are for my eyes only. But here's the thing, is when I reread these notes, I'm reminded. You see, I'm reminded of her love for me and how much she cares about me. Just pulling one out, she actually wrote 100 reasons why I love you. I came up with 101 on why I loved her, but I didn't though. I really didn't. But she did this, and this was for one of our anniversaries, I think. Yeah. 100 reasons why I love you, and I'm not going to go through all of them. I just kind of tabbed some of them. I can't go through all of them. As I was going through, I was like, honey. But it's for my eyes only. And even though that my wife wrote these to me, I want you to just think about this. I love the way you serve with me. I love your big heart. I love it when we share an inside joke. When I reread these notes, I'm reminded of her love for me. And when times get tough, when they get tough, when we're going through a pandemic and we're at each other, I'm reminded of her love for me. You see, the Bible is a collection of ancient writings. Remember me saying that? The Bible is a collection of ancient writings. It's a collection of ancient writings consisting of love letters, of poems of love, of historical stories of God's love and love songs. The Bible, my brothers and sisters, is one big, long love note. The scriptures point to the undying, reckless, and eternal love of God for all humanity. For all humanity. I want to share one last note with you. But I want you at home. I just want you to close your eyes right now. Just close your eyes. And I want you to just imagine God on whatever that looks like for you. Imagine Jesus, whatever picture that is for you. And I want you to listen to the words that Jesus has for you. Jesus is saying this to you. All this is to say that I love you more than anything. I want to say that again. Keep your eyes shut. Picture Jesus saying this to you. All this is to say that I love you more than anything. And then, brothers and sisters, listen to this. Jesus says, you, not someone else, but you are my dream come true. You are my dream come true. You see, Jesus, when he looks at you, he doesn't see all the mistakes and the stuff that you're doing. What he is seeing is a beloved child that he created that has great value. And you bring a twinkle to his eye. And you are his dream come true. Our core value is we are guided by God's word. We are a church that shares the truth of God found in Scripture, revealed in Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you take our first core value, and we always start with Jesus, period. You take that first core value, and then you start reading Scripture. When you read the Old Testament, you start with Jesus. When you read the New Testament, you start with Jesus. When you read the Ten Commandments, you start with Jesus. When it seems like there's a certain angry God in place, you got to start with Jesus. It's so important to start with Jesus. So this week, I want you to read a passage of Scripture every single day this week. Every single day. It's not that hard. 5 minutes. But before you read, I just want you to pray. I just want you to talk. And praying, if you're not sure what praying is, it's just talking to God. It could be verbal, could be in your head. But just talk to God. And I want you to ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, reveal yourself to me in this passage. Show me where you are in this passage. Because I know it's all about you. So show me. And then I want you to ask God to see his love in that scripture. Because brothers and sisters, that book, it's more than 100 reasons why God loves you. Way more. Let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, we recognize that you are love. Because your word says so. Your word that is written in a book, and your word, which is Jesus, says that you are love. I pray that our lives are guided by your word, guided by your scripture, guided by Jesus. And as we read scripture, that our eyes and our hearts and our minds are open to the abundant love that you have and the endless love and undying and reckless love that you have for all people. Help us all to see your love as we read your word. We love you, but only because you first loved us. Because there's times when we don't feel like loving, but you never change. Even when we don't want to love you back, you say no to our no, and you just love us all the more. And we pray this in and through your Son, our Creator, our Savior, the one that reveals who you really are. In Jesus' name, amen.